John chapter 5, verse number 1, the Bible says this: after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. I want to stop right there and let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts in the message this morning. Father, I love You, and this morning I know I was standing back there, but I bow the knee to the King of all the ages. God, You're right. You're always right. And I usually get it wrong unless I get a hold of You and get in line with the way You think. The only time I've really been right about anything is when I got truth from this book and stood with the truth. And Lord, this morning I don't want to do anything for You. I want to just allow You to do what You're doing, and I ask You to let me be a part of it. I want to be Your servant. I want to be Your man. I want to be Your vessel. God, I really long to be filled with Your Holy Spirit. I long to be a help to this church. Father, You know where my heart's at. You know how much I do or don't love You, how much I do or don't love this church, but that's You and I know. You know better than I even do, but I do want the folks to know, Lord, that I do love them and I do care about them. And I'm a hard preacher, and I believe I always will be. I believe it's what You called me to do, and I don't want to change that. But I don't want to lose sight of feeding the sheep, loving the Lord, loving one another, being a blessing to people because of our love for hard preaching. So I ask You to balance the thing out this morning the way it needs to be and use me for Your glory and honor, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I got looking at this thing, and here's what I would like to talk to you about this morning. I'd like to preach to you on when Jesus Christ shows up. When Jesus Christ shows up. Now, that thing starts back here in verse number 1. If you'll look at it with me by way of introduction, I want you to notice something. Let's set the context for when the Lord showed up in this man's life. It says, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. See that? And Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So first of all, you need to understand, so we get the thing in the right context, like I already mentioned, is that there's a religious feast going on here. It's a religious place, Jerusalem. And there's a group of people in their religion who are having their little heyday, their little fun day. And I hate to say this, but I'm going to start getting right to practical application before we get much farther. You live in a day and age where there's a lot of religion. The world's full of religion. You got all the religion you want. And religious people love getting together in their little religious cliques. And one of the things you like, notice that they always like to do is they always like to eat. That's just a thing, right? Get together, let's have our little, since we all agree and we're all on the same page and we're all on the same little clique together, and we kind of have the same view on life and the same view on God and the same view on the world and on politics or whatever else it is. We're in our little safe zone, our little safe bubble, and we meet in our little religious service and we have our little religious time together. That's the world. That kind of an attitude and spirit ought never be in a place where Jesus Christ is going to show up, because He won't show up to that thing and stay there very long if that's the attitude of the people gathering. Religious clique. Some people use church after they're saved as their new bar scene. Like, you used to go down to the bar and have some drinks with the guys, and it was all about the guys and who was going to be there and whether or not we're going to have a good time. And nowadays, that is exactly what church has been tuned into. turned into who's there, who wasn't there, what programs we have, whether my friends were there or not, whether or not I can stay more than 15 minutes in fellowship. Because if I can't stay more than 15 minutes in fellowship, then I just might as well not go at all, because I go to church for a specific reason. You ought to have come here this morning because you wanted Jesus Christ to show up, not because this is your stinking religion and your little habit and your little culture. God just took that away from every one of us for a couple of months. Little time to do a double check and find out whether or not you're walking with God and got a personal relationship. And if you came here this morning because you really want Jesus Christ to show up, you got here for the right reasons. I really don't care for all that. I mean, listen, don't please. I want to be careful. I really do. Man, God's been working on me during the shutdown. I hate being misunderstood. I especially hate being misunderstood when it's because I said it the wrong way. I love being misunderstood when somebody's just got a rotten spirit and they were looking for a reason to get mad. Thrilled my soul. But I don't like being misunderstood because I was stupid about the way I said it. I want you to understand, I love Christian fellowship. I enjoy seeing your face. You have no idea how much I'm struggling back there to not break out into tears just looking around. I know we're spread out a little bit, but you know, I mean, we're getting there. I mean, this is a blessing to me. This ain't like a normal Sunday morning, but we're getting close and very encouraging to me. I mean, my kids are saying when they're getting out of car, "Dad, can we hug yet?" That's not just how I feel. It's how my family feels. It's how we all feel. It's how you feel. I get it. It's okay that your best friends in the world are in this room, and they ought to be. But I'm trying to tell you, that's not why we're here. And if that is why we're here, let's just forget it and go home. We got some money in the bank. God's blessed us. We got some property we're sitting on debt free. God's blessed us. Let's sell it all and give it to some missions or something. If we're here because this is a social club. Well, you'll notice there's a religious context, and you'll also notice while they're all getting together, the big uppity ups, the highfalutin who's who, everybody dressed right, acting right, talking right, coming together for their little feast. In verse number 2, there's at that same place, by the sheep, what? You see that word? You know what caught me? It doesn't say sheepfold. It says sheep market. You know what religions of this world are going to do? They're going to market you. They're after your money. One yahoo's on TV over there trying to get everybody to give their government stimulus to the church. Well, why don't you give your government stimulus to the church? Lead by example, joker. That's absolute foolishness. That's as wicked as hell. That is Lucifer himself. If God's in this thing, God's going to take care of it. I don't have to market you or browbeat you or talk to you the way you want to be talked to in order to get your money. I know how to work. Foolish, man. But you live in a world that is just marketing the sheep. Nobody wants to tell them what they need to hear. Everybody's trying to tell them what they want to hear. And religious leaders are jumping into all the drama going on and acting just like another way, acting like stinking politicians, where they're just capitalizing on opportunities and trying to tell everybody what they want to hear instead of having a backbone, having some guts, and saying, "Hey, I'm not some professional man of the cloth. God called me. God gave me a message. And I got something to tell you from God. I fear him more than you." Marketing the sheep. My job ain't to market you. You know what my job is? It's given to me by my commander in chief, and he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." "Mike, love me more than your own will?" "Sure, God, I give." "All right, I want you to be a preacher." "Okay, God, not my will, but thine be done." "That wasn't my will. You know my testimony. I love it now." It wasn't my will back then. "Lovest thou me more than these?" "Had a great job. Was well into six figures." "What, lovest thou me more than these?" "Yeah, Lord." "Okay, quit that job and go full time at your church." "Are you, Lord, I think you lost it. Think you got this one off a little bit." "Yeah, quit your job and go full time. Love you. You love me more than the money?" "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." "All right, feed my sheep." "God, that's crazy. Quit my job." Other preachers have called me and said, "Hey, I think the Lord's leading me to do what you did. Should I do it?" And I said, "No." Why? Because you're asking me. If God told you to do it, do it.
If you're asking me, you want to put it on me, don't do it. I wouldn't recommend anybody do what I did. But God said, you love me more than that job? You love me more than that money? Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Yeah, but you're starting to love that money an awful lot, aren't you? Well, Lord, it just suits my pride. I killed it and drug it home. I closed the deal. I got him to put ink on the contract. Killed it. It's just suiting my pride. God said, you love me more than that? You're going to call me out on this, aren't you? What's your job? You think I'm crazy? She thought I was totally, she knew I was crazy. Yeah, Lord, you know I love you. What was that all about? That was all about marketing the sheep. I don't need to market you. I know how to market. I don't need to market you. Lovest thou me more than these? Every once in a while the devil comes by and says, man, you're 42 now. You know where you might be right now if the last 12 years you'd have stayed on the track you were on? And know what I try to say? Go where you belong. I don't want to cuss. Kids are in the room. Get it? You know where he belongs, right? I'm the Lord's. Ain't no going back. That bridge is burnt. For what? Feed the sheep. Feed the sheep. If a man's a religious leader, his job ain't to fleece you and make money on you and promote himself through you and promote his denomination through you and promote his church through you and promote his position and promote his rank and promote his preaching. His job is to give you some food that'll help you get your life straightened up, get your mess cleaned up, knock off your foolishness, grow in the Lord. His job is just to give you the food, give you the food, give you the food, give you the food. I've been begging God for months to help me be better at preaching the Bible and nothing else. Now the Bible does deal with our culture. That's practical application or it ain't preaching. People get mad every once in a blue moon because it's human nature. I'm all right with that. And they leave the church. And I'll never forget, I had started going chapter by chapter through the Bible and just picking up where I left off. And I've been doing that for a couple months and somebody got mad and left the church. Well, God bless them. It don't matter. They're going to love me in heaven. The Lord's going to make them. That's a two-way street, I know, but we don't talk about that other direction. You know what they said when they left the church? Well, he just quit preaching the Bible. That's one I didn't lose a whole lot of sleep over because I had just started going through a book in every service. Not topics, not whatever I'm the most mad about right now, not whatever you did wrong to me last week and I got to get that right, airing my grievances from the pulpit, just Bible. Why? Because this ain't a sheep market, see? That's not what this is. BBC has never been a sheep market and by the grace of God, it never will be. This thing's supposed to be a fold. With one shepherd. You know his name, right? The Lord Jesus Christ, to whom I lead by example at bowing the knee. It ain't about me. Now here it is. It ain't about you. It's about him. And my sheep hear my voice. So they come through the door. Why? Because we want Jesus Christ to show up. I want Jesus Christ to show up. You don't have to like me, as long as you show up and like him. It's a sheep market, see it? And by the sheep market, there's a what? A pool. Now, wait a minute. I got looking at that, I got thinking, this is a place where there's a religious gathering. We're in a religious area. And as the people are heading out to their religious feast, all the high uppity-ups, all the sanctified and holy, they've done all the ordinances of the law, they've washed, they've done everything appropriately. And by that place, while they're going in there, there's a bunch of people laying in a market, sheep market. And there's a pool. It's not flowing water. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's not that cool, fresh water that comes by green pastures. You understand what I'm saying? The trickling brook. Where God will lead his people to get a nice, good, clean, smooth drink that'll refresh them. It's a pool. And by that pool, there's a porch. In the Hebrew tongue, it's Bethesda. You know what that means? House of mercy. Where's the mercy? There's all these people that are blind and halt and withered and lame, and they're laying by this pool while all the religious people are going about their feasts. They're just stuffing their faces. They're getting more and more full. They're rich. They're successful. They're blessed. They're having their great little social time at church. Freedom to assemble. They got their, I mean, they're just like Americans, man. They're going about their thing, and there's all these people that need some help.
And none of the religious high mucky mucks care to stop and help somebody. Because they're in the market. Cheap or dirty. I wonder what this water looks like in this pool. I got a feeling that this is actually pretty filthy, dirty water. And in verse number 4, it says, an angel went down a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So on top of this pool with 5 porches, 5 being the number of death, all these people with all these health issues laying there, they're like the homeless people of the generation. That area had to stink. That pool probably bred mosquitoes. It was nasty. Sheep are dirty. They're selling sheep in this area and they're letting all these people just kind of like sleep in that area and stay in that area because they're the refuse. Just push them off to the side. They're messed up. They're too much work. They're too dirty. It's too much to try to help them. They're too far gone. Let's just have our religious time. They're walking in there and the angel comes down and he stirs the water. And now here all these homeless folks are and they're hanging out. They're, you know, they're happy hour on Friday people. They hang out with each other. They're, hey man, I scored some. Come over to my house. We're going to be up all night playing video games and shooting. Right? That's the crowd that they are. And they're all buddies and everything's great. This is how the world's going to treat you. You listen to me, this is how the world will treat you. They're all buddies and everything's great until such time as there's one chance to get help. That angel comes down and troubles that dirty water and the first person in gets healed. And so now all of a sudden, instead of my buddies saying, hey, let me get you up to the edge of the pool, and as soon as we see that trouble, and listen, hey everybody, here's how we clean out the sheep market. Let's organize together, and let's just kind of get in line. Let's go from the weakest and the most messed up that needs the most help, and as soon as that angel troubles, just bump them in the water, and just get in line. Let's just kind of organize this thing in such a way where we can all minister to one another. You don't find that in the world. Instead, it's dog-eat-dog. We're all buddies until such time as it's my opportunity. And then I will step on your throat, jump on your head, stab you in the back, backshoot you in a heartbeat to get what I want out of it. That's what you got out there in the world. Corporations don't have a soul. When you sit across from an individual who does and you're there kind of interviewing for the job, you get this feeling about the company based on who you're interviewing with, right? A representative of the company. You know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out corporations don't have a soul. I don't care how much you like the person you interviewed with. That's the world system. You know, you can't find help out there. House of Mercy. Are you kidding me? Bethesda. House of Mercy. Yeah, right. Ain't no mercy out there. Everybody's your buddy until it's time for them to have advantage, and then they'll step on you so fast it ain't even funny. You know what that thing ought not be? It ought not be found in the house of God. But you find it until Jesus shows up. When Jesus Christ shows up, 3 things quickly. First of all, I want you to notice when Jesus Christ shows up, our will has to be right or we'll never get help. When Jesus Christ shows up, Bethesda becomes a house of mercy. He walks in there in verse number 6. The Lord comes in there. There's a guy that's laying there and he's been there for 38 years. 38. That's a long time. And for 38 years, no help. Until Jesus walks on the scene. And when Jesus walks on the scene, if you want Jesus Christ to show up and stay, your will had better be right when he does. Look at the text. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? When Jesus Christ showed up on the scene, he already knew the man's need. He comes up there and the guy's laying there, and for whatever reason, of all the sheep in that sheep market, he spots that one guy. I'll tell you what reason I believe that is. I believe he saw that one guy because of all the people in that sheep market, most of those people did not care, truly care to be helped. They were having a good time laying in their filth. They were having a good time in their social life. They were having a good time with their gossip. They were having a good time not having even bother going to church on the Sabbath. They saw all that as bondage, and most of them were just laying there in their filth, kind of like hoping their luck comes next time. I'm going to try to take care of myself. I'm going to get in the water when the angel stirs. You know how this works. Most of them really didn't want help. But when Jesus saw that one man, he knew in that man's heart, he wants help. He not only knew a man wanted help, he knew the man had been in that case for a long time. And we're going to see in just a minute, he knew why the man was in that case. Jesus Christ knows everything about you. Jesus Christ knows everything about your preacher. He knows your motives. He knows your thoughts. He knows your secret sins. Some of you think you can hide them, but you can't. Little do you know, other people might even notice, but they don't say anything because they're being gracious. But even if you can hide it from other people, you can't hide it from Jesus Christ. And the reason Jesus Christ doesn't seem to show up in your life is because you missed it when he did. Why? Because your will is off. He knows you have a need. And in verse number 6, he asks the very bizarre question, wilt thou be made whole? Hey, you want some help? Do you really want help? You know what I've come to learn? I've come to learn that I cannot help people that don't want help. I want to help some people sometimes more than they want to help themselves. That is so frustrating. It'll wear you out. I have to get to where I'm like, you know what? Whatever, man. Why? Because it's a beautiful sunshiny day and I got a wife and 4 kids and 2 dogs. And instead of sunshine in my soul, I'm troubled over somebody else that ain't even troubled about their own case. So the Lord walks up and I love the Lord, man. I see the Lord as being chill. And he can get mad when he needs to. I don't think he's anything like me. I don't think he's a raving, spitting lunatic. John the Baptist was more that way. The Lord wasn't. I don't think he was. I think he was just cool, man. Just under control. He'd blow the whole thing up anytime he wanted. And he showed such tremendous restraint at all times. And he walks up and he's looking around. He knows everybody that's laying around there in that pool. Most of them don't want it, but there's one that does. Hey, you want to be made whole? He already knew the answer. He knew how long the guy had been there. And you know what else he knew? Watch this. Go down to verse number 14. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. We'll come back to that in a minute. And said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come up unto thee. Now, we're going to come back to this in a minute. But you know what he said there? He said, sin no more. Wait a minute. You know the point the Lord is making? It didn't say he was this way from birth. Because when other people were hurt, were healed, and they came to the Lord, the Pharisees came to the Lord and said, who sinned, him or his parents? He said, there's no sin here. This just happens in life. But with this guy, he said, sin no more. This guy had done something 38 years ago that had altered his life for the bad. And whatever his case was that he was in was his own fault. And the Lord knew it was his own fault. Y'all not be looking at me like that. Because you know what? The Lord knows the truth. Have you ever wound up in a bad way for a long time because you messed up? I'm glad Jesus Christ cares and has mercy for a man who messed up his life willingly. Well, Jesus shows up. He says, I know who did it. I know it was you. I know what you did. I know you deserved it. But guess what? I ain't like them religious guys. I have mercy on people that messed up. I have mercy on people that chose to sin. I have mercy on people that screwed up their own life because they're stupid and they were being stupid. If you want help now, stupid, with a smile, a loving smile, I will help you. So where's your excuse? Based on that, Bible, right? Where's your excuse? Why haven't you got the help you need?
Jesus Christ will help you. The problem is, you want to lay there, you want to be by that pool, you've gotten accustomed to that smell, you've gotten accustomed to eating and drinking the filth you've been eating and drinking, and you just don't want change that bad. Because Jesus Christ will change you. But the desire has got to be yours. Look at verse 7. The impotent man answered him, "Sir." Now here's what I see when I read it. It's just my opinion. You take it or leave it. I'm preaching. If you were preaching, you could give your opinion. But here's mine. I see him kind of like troubled because he's been wanting help bad. And he's tried everything and he can't quite see the truth. I mean, it's like, yeah, something about what that preacher said was good, but I don't get it. Like, what does it mean to actually be saved? I think I am saved and I did that before. And that kind of thing. He said, "Sir, I have no man." No, nobody cares. They know that I'm the one that screwed up. I did this to myself, 40 years ago. I did this to myself. Everybody knows I'm an idiot. I'm a loser. I messed up. I was a dumb kid in my stupid youthful days, and I did some dumb things, and I'm stuck with it, and everybody knows. Oh, I got the scarlet letter. And the Lord says, the man says, "Sir, I am no man. And when the water is troubled, when the water troubled to put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another step is down before me. Lord, nobody's here to help me. I've tried. AA didn't work. NA didn't work. Counseling didn't work. Church didn't work. Psychology didn't work. Trying didn't work. I've tried and tried and tried. And nobody can help me, Lord." You know what he's saying? "I'm done. I don't have any answers." You see, this man's will is at a point where he says, "God, yes, I'm willing, Lord. You want to get help? You want the Lord to show up in your life? You want His presence? You want peace? No matter what happens with a virus or a shutdown or the economy or riots, you want peace in your heart? It's going to get worse according to the Bible. You better start wanting peace. No matter what happens, do you want the Lord? Then if you want the Lord, you got to be willing to say, 'God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm done trying.'" It was a breakthrough moment for me in the ministry when I quit trying. When I said, "Lord, I can't build it. I can't keep people happy. I can't do it. You know what, Lord? I'm not that guy. I mean, some guys got that thing about them. I don't know how to explain it, but they're like, everybody loves them naturally. Nobody ever misunderstands them. They're always able to talk effeminate without anybody thinking they're, you know. Never ruffle any feathers. Great organizers. Attractors of the crowd. Lord, I ain't got any of that stuff, man. I mess up. I forget everything but my message. It's terrible. I'm a soup sandwich. God, I'm not equipped for this thing. Lord, if you don't... Lord, it's yours. Help me to do my job and do it faithfully and get the focus I got and then just send the help that we need at the church to get wherever you want us to go. But God, I can't do it. And I'm sick of this troubled water. And I'm sick of trying. And I'm sick of competing. And I'm sick of dog-eat-dog. And I'm sick of stepping on other heads. Because I know how to compete too. But it leaves a dirty feeling. Lord, I can't do it. What's the Lord say? Immediately, Jesus said, verse 8, "Rise up, rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. How about that? See, that melts me right easily into my second point. If you want Jesus Christ to show up, number one, you've got to be willing that when He shows up, He's in charge and you're not. And you'll do whatever He says because you're done trying in this world. You're just done. Lord, blank check. It's signed. Fill it out. Number two, you've got to have the Word of God when Jesus Christ shows up or you won't get what you need. I'm full up with religion. Two things we don't talk about, religion and politics. Wait a second, hypocrite. You're willing to talk about both as long as the person you're speaking to agrees with your position. That is a trump card, a wild card everybody pulls when they don't like what they heard. You know what I have the number one hatred for beyond politics? I expect it out of politics. Expect what? Foolishness. There are sinful human beings like you are. The Bible says not to speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Oh, ain't that convicting for all of us in Michigan? You know what I hate more than I hate politics? Religion. Do you know why? Religion's the devil. It says, here you got truth, here you got truth, here everything's okay between you and God, just calm down and relax, no problem at all, don't worry about it at all, and it will soothe your conscience. You can find a religion that will not increase your blood pressure. Just shop. There is more varieties of religion out there nowadays than you even know how to handle. That's what I hate about the store. Way too many options. I think two at the most, three options. I should have an A and a B. That's it. When I'm going to look for anything, an A and a B, and we can get in and get out. But there's so much variety. There's so much variety in religion, folks. You can find a religion that won't tick you off, won't hold you accountable, won't put any conviction on you, won't put any pressure on you. And boy, that's just... Religion will send your soul to hell while lulling you to sleep. But when Jesus Christ shows up, He's going to give you His Word. And when you get the Word of God, it's going to change your life. You understand me? It's going to change your life. I sure hope you learned over the last couple of months how important that book is. I'm sure glad we've done our very best in this church to preach Bible and to give you Bible doctrine. I've never pressured you that you have to be in church three times a week in order to be right with God. And I'm glad I never did preach that, because boy, I sure would be eating my words right about now. Because I ain't been in church in the last 3 months. We having fun yet? Now when the doors are open, you ought to want to be here. And if you don't want to be here, I ask you a question. What's wrong with your heart? What's going on in your life that's more important than hearing the Word of God preached? What you got going that's just so much more special? Listen, them deer will be there. Them fish will be there. That bull cord will be there. What do you got going on in your life that's more important than saying, hey, maybe God's going to speak to my heart this morning. It's Sunday, family. We get to church on Sunday. Hey, I've never preached you have to be here or hounded you about your attendance. I want you to come because you want to be here, because you want to hear the Word of God preached, because that book changes your life. I want my children to know we don't have to go to church, even though I'm the pastor. You're the pastor. You have to be here. You think so? You think so? I don't have to do this. Anytime I want, I can say, I'm done. Well, you got to give us 2 weeks' notice. You don't want me for 2 weeks after I already quit. You do not want me. Oh, and by the way, you never voted me in anyhow. Where's the contract? I think I'm the only member of the church that didn't get voted in. I was here when we started. I was never voted into membership. Somebody said to me, Pastor, you've been out for more than 8 weeks. Now you're going to have to rejoin, or are yours excused? Everybody's excused because of COVID, okay? We come here not because we have to come here. I never preach to you, you have to give 10%. I tell you to follow the Holy Spirit of God in your giving. Well, I only give 5. Listen, let me say something that's going to make the treasurer lose his mind. He's probably going to shoot me. I would rather you give 5% cheerfully from a heart that's given to God than 10% begrudgingly and of necessity. He didn't just say that. And he doesn't preach that women have to wear skirts all the time in order to be godly. He's a heretic. After the manner which you call heresy. So worship my God, my Father's believing all that's written in the law and the prophets. You find it in the Bible, I'll preach it. You don't find it in the Bible, my preference is my business for my home and yours is yours for your home. But that book I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach it without fear, without holding back. I'm going to preach that book. Because that's what you and I need in order for Jesus Christ to show up in our home. My children don't have to have the bondage of religion. They don't have to feel the pressure of, well, we gotta go to church. You know what I want my kids to know? We want to go to church. You know what's been a blessing to me during the shutdown? Watching my kids just about throw a fit because we can't be in church. You know what's a blessing when it's time to go back to church? We get to go to church. We get to go to... Do you see the difference? We get to go to church. Not, we have to go to church. We get to go to church. Hey, I'm telling you, the only way that works is if Jesus Christ shows up, and if you ain't in the book, you don't got Him. You got religion. I want the Lord. In order to have the Lord, we got to be hearing the Word of God. Notice what happens in verse number 8. Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Now when the man gets the word of God in verse 9, immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. Soon as the word of God came to that man and got in his ears and went into his heart, Romans 10, faith cometh by and hearing by. Excuse me? Faith cometh. It walks down a specific road. The road is a road of hearing. And the navigational beacons upon that road, the white line and the yellow line, is the Word of God. Are you with me? I want my church to be full of faith. Not just saving faith, of course. But after saving faith, hey, without faith it's impossible to please Him. I want my family full of faith. I want to be full of faith! So that if the economy shuts down, I'm not worried about it. Because the one that's always paid my bills is still going to pay them. How do you get that faith? Well, I'm trying to believe. Well, the Lord's never done anything for me. Get in the book. Faith cometh down a road. Hear the book. When the preaching is preached, hear, ask the Holy Ghost. Before you come, while you're sitting there, what do you have for me? Speak to me. Hearing by the Word of God. In Amos, you know what the Lord said? I'm going to set a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread. Nor a thirst for water. You know, all these people talking about, you know, there's going to be a food shortage, blah, blah, blah. I noticed this week when I went, there's a lot less people in the store. Everybody's not frothing at the mouth, panicking about the apocalypse anymore. And it seems like there's more and more meat beginning to build up. Just imagine the people that actually process that meat and make money on it just might have said, hey, the government gave us the money to keep going. We're going to hire people. We're going to work really hard because there's a lot of money to be made right now. Hello? If a food shortage comes, whatever it comes, I'm not a prophet like that. I'm a Bible preacher. But I'm just saying, God said, the famine you need to worry about is not the one of bread, it's not the one of water, but of, what word?
Hearing.
He didn't say a famine of the word of the Lord, like all the Bible-believing, independent, fundamental, King James, preachers like to say. There's not going to be any Bible preachers anymore. Hey, as long as God's worked in the sinful world, He's always had preachers! And He'll have them in the tribulation. 144,000 Jewish male virgins preaching and angels flying in heaven. Preaching the everlasting gospel. God makes sure the word, world always has His word. If you want it. Is there less and less? Of course. But God makes sure the message is there for anybody who wants the message. The famine is in the ears of the people. They heat to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what, you know what? I don't disagree with what he said. I just don't like the way he says it. No, you're starving. I'm not starving. Oh yeah, you are. Well, I ate 4 meals a day like a good American. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack. Right? No, you're starving. You know what you're starving for? You're starving for the Word of God. You need old-fashioned Bible preaching. You need it. Your kids need it. They need it. I need it. When Jesus Christ shows up, He comes through the preaching of the Word of God. And when that preaching comes into your life, you know what it does?
that book, this book. This book carries you. You saw me carry my Bible this morning. You see me carry it while I'm walking around here. You'll see me carry it out. You'll see me carry it back in tonight at 5 o'clock. Hint, hint. And carry it back out and carry it back Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. I'm reminding you because some people forgot what time we meet. But you're seeing an optical illusion. Don't ever forget this. This is a good one. You might want to write it down. Believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. Did you hear me? And unless you're watching the news media, then believe nothing you see. They're all biased. Conservative or liberal, don't care. They're all biased. Believe nothing you hear and half of what you see. Because you see me carrying this book, but I'm not. I am telling you right now, church, this book carries your preacher. And when I got the Word of God, He said, all right, get up off that bed. Yeah, Lord, that thing stinks and it's dirty. And He says, shut up. I got it, kid. Pick the bed up. Lord, you don't understand. This thing's been holding me a long time. God says, oh, you don't need that thing to hold you. I got something that's going to carry you. All of a sudden, the strength comes from somewhere you never imagined it come from. The Word of God. If Jesus Christ is going to show up, our will has to be right so He can do something in our lives. His Word's got to be present so that you can get the strength you need not only to carry your bed but to stand up against your accusers. Look at verse 10. The Jews therefore said unto Him that was cured, it's the Sabbath day. It's not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. What an idiot. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to just be crude and mean for the sake of it. But I'm still Mike Reagan. Amen? God called Michael Richard Reagan Jr. Or Michael Jasper Reagan. I prefer that one. I think I'm going to go by that from now on. I can't wait for Sammy to get back. Michael Jasper Reagan. That's what he calls me. I'm Jasper from the 101 Dalmatians. He's Horace. You don't understand. It's good. God called Michael Jasper Reagan. He didn't take away my personality when He called me to preach. So I got a personality, and as long as it's under God's control, it's okay. And I'm okay with saying this right now. These guys are idiots. Why? Because a man for 38 years had a need, and God showed up. Jesus Christ showed up, who knows everything. Saw him. Worked a miracle that angels couldn't. Well, the angel told me, will you tell the angel, I follow Jesus Christ. I love it when I get that. The Lord told me to give you a message. Okay? God told me to give you a message. God told me that you need to open church now. Well, God didn't tell you we're open? Where you been? Jesus Christ showed up. You understand? He's doing something angels couldn't do. And He says, take up your bed and walk. And the man gets healed. And all the religious people are more worried about the fact that Jesus did not do it their way. Hello, church, as we're opening back up, really, let's not be having a bunch of debates about COVID, about riots. The rioting is foolishness. It has nothing to do with the man. When you're looting and burning places down, that ain't the Spirit of God. That has nothing to do with the issue. It is a wicked nation that found opportunity to show their rebellion. Period. We don't need to bring all the junk of this world into our church. Well, pastor, should I never shut down? Okay, if that's your position, nobody said that to me. But if that's your position, pray God has mercy on me at the judgment because I have to answer for every move I've made. And that weighs on me a lot heavier than you might know. He should open up a long time. We're open now. Let's not let the devil come in here and get our minds all off the bigger thing and get us all distracted from the bigger issue. The bigger issue is a man got some help and Jesus did it His own way and that is His own business. Hey, I believe the Lord's going to do great things in spite of the fact that America is acting nuts. Because God works in mysterious ways, bro.
Like, that doesn't make any sense. I wouldn't do it that way. Yeah, because you're a religious muckety-muck, a highfalutin big shot. You ain't Jesus. He went to the dirty spot, found a wounded man, and helped that man nobody cared about. I believe in all the mess. God will work if we want Him to, and God will use us to help somebody else. I believe it.
Amen.
I believe it, man. I'm excited about it, if you haven't noticed. I'm fired up. I believe this coming Saturday, if you'll pray for me, God can use me to work on the heels of a pretty messed up time when people's minds are running back through what's going on in the world around them. There may be some open doors that wouldn't be here without COVID, without riots, and some prayers might be getting answered, Johnny. I think God can work. He just doesn't do it our religious way. So here they are criticizing. But you'll notice my final point, and I'm going to wrap it up quick. He says this, when they come to Him, verse 11, He answered them and says this, He that made me whole, the same said to me, take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they Him, what man is it that said unto thee, take up thy bed and walk? He that was healed wist not who it was. He didn't know yet. He still has to grow. He doesn't, a lot of times, look, a lot of times people don't know a lot of things. When you've been laying for 38 years in one place, you think overnight you're going to start thinking like a Bible-believing Christian that's been saved for 40 years? Of course not. Got to give Him time. So who is He that said, take up thy bed and walk? He said, He wist not. I don't know. For Jesus had conveyed Himself away, a multitude being in that place. Jesus said, I ain't worried about all them nuts, all them self-righteous people. I came to help a man need some help or want some help, and now I'm out of here. Now watch this. Afterward, look at verse 14. I like this. Jesus findeth him. He knows His sheep. He knows you. And Jesus Christ wants to show up again. Did you hear me, church? After shutdowns, after COVID, Jesus finds him. And where does He find him at? In the temple. Wait a minute. What's He doing in the temple? Folks, look, if I've been laying there 38 years and watched all them people walk right by me and never care, you think I'm walking into their fellowship? Well, I would go to church, but you know, I was treated bad. I know a preacher got mixed all up in sin, all got off into foolishness. I mean, he was such a hypocrite. Said one thing and did another. Yeah, you think I don't know some? You know, I got some weird hang-ups. There's reasons for some of my hang-ups. Yeah, I might be a mess. Not everybody does it my way. Some other guys don't. They're way more laid back about stuff than I am. But I've just seen too much in my short little life. And I don't come in here today because everybody was always so great to me. And you do treat me great. But that's not always been my church experience. I come in here today because the temple is where I might be able to learn a little bit more about the Lord. And it has nothing to do with the fact that anybody did or didn't treat me a certain way. It has to do with the fact that I want, back to point one, my will is to get help. I want Jesus to show up. And I know I got to get where the book is to get Jesus to show up. That man's walk changed. His walk changed when Jesus Christ showed up. And He's not just carrying the bed. He's going somewhere He hasn't gone in 38 years at a minimum. He's getting right into the temple. Why? Because He has new desires now. Now He no longer cares about hanging out on Friday night at the bar and having some beers with the boys. Now He wants to get where the Lord is. He's found freedom. He can move about where He wants. Jesus shows up and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. What? Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon thee. Church, you know the doctrine. I'm not going to take the time to preach it because I want to let you out of here. I'm trying. I'm really trying not to be going over an hour all the time. But listen, you know the doctrine of eternal security. If you don't, let me know. We'll talk. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation, but let me tell you something. Let me warn you about something. When you're born again, and God's changed your life and brought you out of a life of sin, you still have the same human nature you had before you were saved. And whatever your weakness was back then, be it drugs, alcohol, fornication, I don't care what your weak covetousness, I don't care what your weakness was before you were saved, it is still your human weakness. Although Jesus Christ will never leave you nor forsake you, the devil will try to drag you back into your old life. Now, wait a minute. Stay with me. What he's going to do is magnify that thing. You think you can dabble around and just have a beer on the weekends and it's going to be okay. That's what the devil's going to tell you. He's going to show you the passages of Scripture where the water was turned to wine. He's not going to show you the ones that says you're a fool if you dabble in it. He's not going to show you the ones that says not even to look upon it when it's red, when it giveth itself, when it moveth itself in the cup. He's going to tell you can handle it now. He's going to tell you it's okay now. And I'm telling you right now, you can't handle it. You can't handle it. When you're saved and you sin against the Holy Ghost, and over time you push him down, you push him down, you push him down, the day is coming that you're going to be given to it more than before you were saved. Because now you're sinning against greater light than you had back then. And I could go down a list, but I'm not going to this morning, of people you know, names you know, and you know them as demonic, satanic music. Leaders thereof. You know them for the filthy perversion that they're in. And I could name you more than one that came out of born again Baptist Christian schools, Baptist churches, born again parents that are now showing, listen, debauchery! Because the devil wants to take your testimony and rub it in the face of Jesus Christ, and rub it in the face of the world that knows you, and rub it in the face of your lost family members and your backslidden family members. He wants you down the road of sin! And you won't listen! Because you don't have a will to listen anymore. And Jesus said, you better listen. Do right. Lest a worse thing come upon you. Satan is patient, 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 patient. I've watched him work for 20, 25, and 30 years on a family that just won't get things right. Little things. It's a cancer. And those little things, those people never stop to help me. Those little things grow and grow and grow and grow. The devil will take all the time in the world and be as patient as he can be to wreck you. So a worse thing can come upon you. Why? So he can damage your relationship with Jesus Christ. So he can damage your testimony, so he can keep your friends and family members from coming, so he can get to your kids. Do you hear me? These kids might not know everything, but they're a lot smarter than you think they are. And they pick on dry sponges, boy, they pick up on stuff. You sit there in 20 or 30 years and you're looking at your kids, and the way this world is going, folks, the way this world is going. God only knows what some of us could be facing. And the only hope we have is Jesus Christ showing up. And he ain't going to show up if we don't want him. He ain't going to show up if we don't get in his word. And he ain't going to show up if our walk doesn't match our talk. He said, now that you've been straightened up, do right, boy. I'm telling you, do right, lest something worse come upon you. Folks, I want Jesus Christ in my home, in my marriage, in my child rearing, someday by the grace of God, in my grandpawing. I'm not short-sighted. If he ain't here now, he ain't going to be here then. I want him now. I want him. I believe he's here this morning. I want him now. How about you? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.